Okay, we are going to turn to the Genesis chapter 20. Let's start from verse 1.
And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?"
This is the second time Abraham is saying, "She is my sister." In this chapter, we will see, actually she was his sister. And then when you read in this chapter, God punishes Abimelech, his wife, and all the other people because of Sarah. Now, some people will see this and think Abimelech might have taken Sarah for so many months or years like that. It didn't happen like that. Why? Chapter 18, God comes and promises Abraham that your wife is going to have a son. That same day, God sends the angels. Next morning, Abraham looks towards the Sodom and Gomorrah and he knew that city is destroyed. So it's not too many months or too many years. God talked to Abraham, "The same time I met you, the same time when I come, you will have a son." That means he gave him almost a year of time. But when he talked to Sarah, he says, "You will have a son, the time of life." So he gave the actually season. So now from that we know Abraham is getting 100 years old. Sarah is almost 90 years old. So now Sarah is almost ready to deliver the son. Sarah is 90 years old. Abraham is almost 100 years old. Why I'm saying this? Because the Abimelech, when he met this Abraham, says to him, "Who is this?" "Oh, she is my sister." Can you imagine 90 years old lady look like 16 years old? Why is that? Because now she is going to bear a child. And when you are pregnant, early days of your pregnancy, you look so pretty. That's the time the whole youth comes to the lady when she is pregnant. So now this man was attracted to her. And he sends the people, in the chapter 20 verse 2, he sends the people and says, "Go and take the Sarah and bring it to me." Now you can see this man is a king. He has the authority. So Sarah and Abraham, they are strangers, they are travelers, they are not citizens of this country. So he thought, what they're going to do? So he just sends the people and bring the Sarah. Now Sarah comes to in his house. Maybe he asked her, "What is the relationship with you, with that man?" He says to me, "You are his sister." "Oh yes, I'm his sister." Now people take this thing and tell others lying is nothing. Because Sarah lied, she was not punished. Abraham lied twice, he was not punished. But if you remember, we just made the CD, lying is a sin. And all the liars will go to hell. Then why Abraham and Sarah could not go to hell lying? Because there was no law. They did it before the law. If there is no law, you cannot be punished. And so that was the situation. God promised me that my wife is going to bear a son. And time is running out. She might be pregnant at that time, or she might be not. Once the lady is pregnant, and even the somebody rapes her, she cannot have that person's child. Once she is pregnant, that is, whatever the child she is carrying, nobody can interfere with that child. So I have no idea what was going on in his mind. Sarah is pregnant, nothing is going to happen, or first time somebody took my wife and they gave me a lot of money. So this is my second chance, maybe get some more money from these people. Because God is not going to kill my wife or kill me, because he promised. And so I am a promised man. God is in my side. And if he takes my wife, he has to return to me. I don't know he was praying or what, but this is what he was thinking. I'm not going to lose my wife. I'm not going to lose that son. And so he's a heathen. God will take care of me. But that is the foolish way to trust in God. You do the right thing, and then God will come to rescue you. But here God shows so much love and grace to Abraham. Look at the Israeli people. They are going against God. They are doing every sin. They rejected Jesus Christ, and they don't want to follow Christ. And the Jesus Christ sacrifice and everything, they denied everything. Still, God loves the children of Israel. He has promised them that he is going to establish their kingdom. And in the last days, in the time when Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Israeli people will be saved, and they will be having their land, and they will be having kingdom for a million years. This is because of God's promise to Abraham. And God do not changes his word. He keeps his promises. So when God promised Abraham that you are going to have a son, Abraham had faith that nothing will happen to my wife. And so here we see, time is short. He cannot keep his wife longer period of time. If she is already pregnant, and then man is going to say, or that is Abraham's child, because in those days you cannot find out, no DNA testing, and you cannot find out what's happening. So what God did, put some kind of problem to Abimelech, his wife, and his other family members. You will be learning this little bit further. What he did, he closed their womb. Now, long time ago, I thought when these things close their womb, means they will be barren, cannot have children. But there is no time to find out they are barren or not, because it's almost a very close window. To find out somebody is barren, if 18 years old girl didn't have children when she is 19 or 20, you cannot say she is barren. You have to have like a 30, 40, 50 years and no children, then somebody will say this lady is barren. So this was not the time of those people who were barren or something, because time was very short, less than a year or less than a 9 month. So the word of God is saying God closed their womb. Now they are almost 9 months pregnant or 8 months pregnant, having labor pain, cannot deliver the baby. It's a very, very dangerous situation. But Abimelech didn't know why this is happening. But he was frustrated. In the same time, God comes in a night in his dream, and he said, you know what? You took some man's wife. If you do not return that wife to that man, you will be dead man. Not only you, but all of your relatives and your kingdom, your people, your family, they all be dead. Then it clicked in Abimelech's mind. Wow, this is what's happening in my family. This is what people are suffering and crying and could not have babies. Some of them might be pregnant for 8 months, 9 months, and now they cannot have children. What's the problem? When God talks to Abimelech, you took the man's wife, that man is a prophet. And then when you return his wife to him, he will pray for you. And so, this is what God told, but see what the Abimelech says, verse 4.
But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?
Now, Abimelech talks to God when God talked to him. He says, are you going to destroy the righteous nation? Now, he is self-righteous. This nation is not a righteous nation. This is the heathen nation. He committed sin, but he do not want to admit that he is a sinner. What is the business this Abimelech has going and taking somebody, even though she was his sister, but he has no business taking somebody's sister without his permission? Do you know what he did? If you read verse 2, he said he sent the people and said, bring Sarah. Didn't make any deal. Didn't say, if the Sarah is your sister, how much money I should give for Sarah. Or some kind of deal. No deal, nothing. Bring somebody's wife. Keeps in his house. Now, God already protected Sarah. And he did not allow him to have a desire to even touch her. Maybe some kind of fear. Maybe some kind of anxiety. Maybe some kind of disease. Because if you read later on, the word of God says, God healed Abimelech. Maybe he had no desire to have sexual activity. Even though he brought her into his house, but he cannot have any sexual relationship. God did something to him, so he could not do anything. Otherwise, these people not have one wife, they have several wives. But now he cannot do anything. He cannot even touch her. He cannot even call her to his bedroom because he has no power to do anything because God did it. But he is trying to say, I'm a righteous man, and are you going to destroy the righteous nation? Verse 5.
Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this.
Now he is trying to say, justify himself again. See, I said to the man, and he said, she's my sister. I asked to the lady, she said, he's my brother. And then, my heart is clean, my hands are clean. I did not do anything wrong. Why are you punishing me? What is my fault? But God did not argue, because you cannot talk to fool. They will not understand. The word of God says, fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he doesn't know who is he talking to. God had only one point, get this Sarah out of his house. Okay, let's read verse 6.
And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her.
See, he is saying, you think you are righteous, you are innocent, okay? I say, okay, you are innocent. But do you know, I did not allow you to touch her, even though you are a good man. He might have a desire to do something, but he said, I did not allow you to touch her, and I did not allow you to sin against me. So now he starts thinking, God, he did not allow me to touch her. That is the power of God. There was a one man came to me and said, Pastor Peter, my family is arranged marriage for me. But I want to tell you, I am not a man. I said, you are a man. He said, you don't understand. I cannot perform sex. I am weak. I have no strength. But I do not want to tell my family their family name will be spoiled, and wedding is arranged and everything is, or maybe he was married, I don't know. But I said, I'm going to pray for you. I led him to Christ, and I prayed for him, and God gave him the grace to be a good husband, bring some children to this world. So point I'm making, God can give you strength, or God can cut down your strength. It is God's. So God says, I did not allow you to sin. You come to God. So God says only one thing. I protected you not to commit sin. Okay, verse 7.
Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
Now he's saying, if you do not give his wife back, you and all your people will die. But now, instead of calling Abraham, he got up early in the morning, and what he's doing, he's calling his own people to get their advice. Let's read verse 8.
Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid.
Now see, all these people, when they heard what Abimelech was saying, because of Sarah, problem came to my house. How about you? Everybody starts saying, wow, my wife was 9 months pregnant and she was supposed to give birth last week, and still she could not give birth, and she's having a lot of pain, and everybody start complaining. Then click in his mind, this is God. All of my people are complaining. It's not written in here, but it's understood. And so they did not give him the wrong advice. You are a king, keep his wife, what he's going to do. And you got a dream, maybe you eat pizza too much, that's why you got a dream. That's not a God. God doesn't know the name of the lady. God doesn't know the name of the man. Do whatever you want to do. But all other people gave him the same idea and advice. You better give his wife back, because we are having problem. You're having problem. This has to be God. And so what he's doing? Let's read the verse 9.
Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done.
See, now he is saying Abraham has done something. They might be, say, witchcraft or a curse or something. He said, what you have done to us? Now Abraham doesn't know anything. This man comes and starts saying, what did you do to us? Abraham is just thinking this man might be causing some fight. And he is saying, you did to us, you did to our families, you did to my kingdom, and why did you do these things? Now read the verse 10.
And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?
Now again he's saying, what you were thinking, what you saw, why you did this thing to us, what was in your mind? Tell us. Let's read the verse 11.
And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake.
Now Abraham tells him, you know what? Your country, your kingdom is not a godly kingdom. You people are not God-fearing people. Your people are sinners. So I was afraid these sinners do not have the fear of God, and they will do something harm to me. They will kill me. That's why I said this. And read the verse 12.
And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife.
I want to tell you, she is my real sister. Her father and my father is one. Only difference is her mother and my mother is different. And that's why I got married. And so, actually, I am her brother and she is my sister. And so I did not lie to you. That's what he's trying to say. But actually, it's a lie. Half lie or quarter lie is lie. The word of God says, yes, yes, no, no, more than is sin. So we cannot take the Abraham's example, because Abraham was before the law, so it was not sin to him. Otherwise, God would have punished him right away. Do you know Ananias and Sapphira? He lied and she lied, and both of them dropped dead. The lying is a horrible sin. Verse 13.
And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother.
Now he is saying, Sarah told you that he is my brother because I told her so. Now he is saying, God called me, I listened to God, and I am traveling because of God. Now she promised me that I will tell you, you are my brother, and I told her, please tell others, you are my sister. And so she is just obeying me, and she is just doing it. Can you imagine today's wife? Do you think they will do it like Sarah did? No. They will say, you put my life in danger last time. Now you're going to put my life in danger again? I'm not going to do it. I will divorce you, but I would not do these things. I will go and marry somebody who can protect me. But the word of God says Sarah was a righteous woman. She was a God-fearing woman. She was trusting in God. She was thinking, God promised me, I'm going to have a son. Can you imagine when they came from Abraham's home place? That time, Sarah was almost 65 years old. And that time, 65 or 70 years old, and somebody took her, kidnapped her, and wanted to marry her. Now she's 90. So at that time, 65 or 65 years old or 70 years old, she was not even pregnant. So you can see how God created her so beautiful. Everywhere she goes, people want her. And so now she's almost 90 years old, but God-fearing lady. I think she might be praying all the time, God protect me, you protected before, the same God can help me. I don't want this king touching me. I don't want to defile my body. You're going to bring a son, Isaac, and I'm trusting in you. And if she was pregnant, she can say, I'm already carrying this child. I don't want anybody harming my child. And whatever she was praying. So God heard her prayer. And that's why this Abimelech got a dream. When Job had the problem, and Job's friend was bothering him, and when God talked to Job, he said, listen, you're going to pray for your friends. And God talked to the friends. He said, you know what? You go to my servant Job and take some sacrifice, and he will pray for you. Job listened to God. If Job would have said, I am sick, those people are nasty, they are always cursing me, they are always finding fault in me, why should I pray for them? Heal me first. But he obeyed, and the word of God says God healed him. When? When he prayed for his friends. Same thing. Saul was persecuting the children of God. And when Jesus appeared to him and made him blind, now Jesus told him, call Ananias, and Ananias will come and lay hand on you, and your eyes will be healed. God talked to Ananias and says, there is a man, his name is Saul, he is blind. You go and lay hand on him, and he will recover. So the point I'm making, God talked to the both parties, but did not tell them, I talk to that person, and I talk to this person. So, same way, I believe God might have talked to Abraham. Otherwise, last time somebody took his wife, he did not go and pray for those people, but he's praying for these people. And so from that we know God might have talked to Abraham, God might have comforted Sarah, but it's not given here. We only see the Abimelech comes to Abraham and start scolding him. And Abraham stood there, didn't know what to say. He simply said, you know what? I had a fear that you people will do such a things because there is no fear of God in this country. When Abimelech was complaining, why did you do this? Why did you harm to us and our family members? But Abraham did not say anything. Why? Because he knew he's a king. Let's read the verse 14.
And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife.
Now see here, what he giving a gift. He says he gave man servants and woman servants. That means he has to have many, many ladies as a servants. So if he wants to go with any ladies, they are their servant, he can do anything he wants. But he wants Sarah. Like you have so many ladies, so many servants, still you are not satisfied. You want to go after somebody's wife. And that is the sin. So he gives him sheep, oxen. So it's not a one or two. He gave hundreds of sheep and hundreds of oxen and man servants and woman servants. Not one, many. And then he did something else. Let's read verse 15.
And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved.
Now he's saying, you know what? Sarah, simply saying, I love you so much, but I didn't do anything to you. But I want to let you know, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. And so he's saying, I give your brother this much because of you. And he says, you are so beautiful. And so your husband is a covering for you. Means your husband is your protection. If your husband was not a godly man, if your husband was not serving the Lord, I would not be giving you back to him. So, give respect more to your husband. Cover your eyes. That's why Muslim ladies have burqas. And they can see other people, but other people cannot see them. But I don't think Abimelech was telling her, wear the burqa. But he was saying, your husband is your protection. He is your covering. Not only for you, but all the people, because he is a godly man. When you are godly, devil has no authority to touch you or touch your family or touch your property or anything, because devil has no power over us. The word of God says the greater one is within you than what is in the world. The devil is a roaring lion, but we have the real Lion of Judah. So devil has no power over us. We have to trust in God. One day at a time, God will provide everything every day. There is nothing impossible. God said to his people, I'll give manna every day. So you trust in God for daily bread. God is all-sufficient God. So we do not have to sit and think what will happen in future. And so, this man gives everything to Abraham, and he even says, you want to stay here? Stay in this land. Let's read verse 17.
So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children.
They didn't come to Abraham, but the king says, bring Abraham here. because he's proud. He cannot go to Abraham. So Abraham goes to him, and then he starts scolding him. Finally, he came to know scolding will not work. We have to give something so our curse will be gone. So the word of God says, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. From that you know, Abimelech has some problem. He could not perform the duties what he wanted to do. And his wife had the problem. Wife, I don't know, she was pregnant already. And so she could not deliver the babies. And the other ladies, maidens and all other servants, they could not, deliver the babies. So they were in pain and trouble. How do you know? The second verse says, let's read the verse 18.
For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
See, fast closed their womb. No doctor can open it. No surgeon can do it. When God shut the door, nobody can open. And when God opens the door, nobody can shut it. And so we have to pray and ask God, Lord, open the door for me. I don't have any jobs. If I ask somebody, you don't have a job, how many people went on their knees and said, Lord, please show me where I should apply, what I should do, and fast and pray. Here, this king comes and tries to be proud and this and that. Doesn't work that way. He has to humble himself. Finally, he emptied himself. Gave the money and everything, still nothing happened until Abraham prays. Abimelech is not going to be healed, his wife is not going to be healed, his servants are not going to be healed, and they will have all kinds of problems. But the Abraham prays, God opens the womb, and all the people got released and God blessed. So if the God is not opening the door, you can bang your head. It will be not open. But if you say, Lord, I humble myself. You open the doors for me. And then God will open the door. He says, Malachi chapter 3, if you remember, verse 10, he says, if you give tithes and offerings, I will open the heavenly windows and pour down the blessings, and you will not have room to store it. Is God a liar? No, I believe he is a true God. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have supplied all our needs. We are so grateful to you. I pray for your people. Give them courage. Give them grace, give them peace, and let them know that God has started a good work in their lives, and he's going to complete it. Supply their needs, and let them know God protected Abraham, God protected Sarah. The same God is here. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.